Coming to you live from a little grass shack in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's the Junior Kekuema Jr. Show, starring Junior Kekuema Jr.
That's what I was thinking.
Join Junior along with the Wayne Borge Band as he makes any kind from Hawaii. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Junior Kekuema Jr.
And welcome to the podcast. I am Junior Kekuema Jr. And this podcast is all about the law of attraction, okay? And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the law of attraction and manifestation and how you can manifest like the life of your dreams. Okay, now, I didn't believe in any of this. I got to tell you guys. Okay, but first, the attitude of gratitude. So we want to say thank you, mahalo. There's so many people to thank, really. Okay, but we're going to keep that short, okay? But we're just going to say thank you so much to the people who are tuning in for the first time. And we don't have any new countries, so to speak. But our Spotify is going off the chain, as it were. In the old days, they said stuff like that, you know, off the chain. And then it was, I think, off the dome. And then it was, I don't know, off the hizzy for shizzy. I mean, you know, all that stuff, right? That's another old school stuff. We have one new country, Australia. Okay, so we'd like to say welcome to Australia. And just to run down, like give you an idea of, you know, what the ratio is for the percentages. Apple Podcasts is 44.1%. Used to be like 85%. iHeartRadio is 18%. People on web browsers are increasing in listenership, 17%. Everything else kind of goes boom, 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 down, down, down. And anyway, so we'd like to say mahalo to you guys. Also, okay, so... women were like down to like 9%, and I think it was that podcast I did on relationships, and we're gonna get a little bit into we're gonna touch on relationships today, not real heavy kind, but just I mean a little bit, okay? But females are actually up now to 25%, so like I don't know, it just took a dip and then boom, like it's right back. But actually they were up to like 40%. So we're still, ladies, please, just keep coming back. It's okay. You know, it's not what you think, okay? It's actually for your benefit because we're trying to educate the you know, men, right? So that the men know, like, what's really going on because, like, you know, man, they're clueless sometimes. I mean, you know, like me, myself, I'm clueless. I was clueless for years, okay? And then I had to study. So anyway, on today's podcast, we're going to talk about studying. On today's podcast, I'm going to tell you something that like I had no clue, right? I was just living my life. Now, I have this company and we talked about, you know, we did a video promo on this. And I have this company called VMAC Consultants. Now, VMAC Consultants, you know, we touched upon it on another podcast, but I will just say that this is something that came about. This company was born because my mom took me to this feng shui thing, right? And Chinese New Year would, you know, just happened, the Lunar New Year. And so, you know, I thought, well, yeah, let's talk about it. And, you know, and let's talk about like what really happened after this company. So let's give you a little bit of background. Now, before this company happened, this company is actually a transformation of a production company, which was my very first company. The name of the company was Imua Productions. For those of you outside of Hawaii, Imua means forward, okay, or to go forward or forward movement, you know, that kind of thing, right? And you can look at it as progress, you know, like Imua, like we're moving forward, that kind of thing. So, and it's spelled I-M-U-A, okay? Now, an interesting thing about that is, I mean, right now there's a company in Hawaii that's named that, but we let go of the name years and years ago. So I'm talking like, this goes back like almost 40 years now, long time. Okay. And we let go of the company. So when we first, you know, started the company, it was one of my uncles said, hey, you know, let's put it under my company. And so we were doing a DBA under his company. And then eventually we formed what is now the Voice Master Enterprises family of service companies. So, but originally, like, it was under this other company. We're not going to mention it. It's gone. It's, you know, no sense in mentioning that. But and that was a long, long time ago. So anyway, I start this thing called Imua Productions, right? And we were doing jingles. We were doing radio commercials. We were doing on-hold voice recordings, and we were selling the boxes itself. So there were machines. And what I would do is I would go to a hotel. Like, we served this hotel chain, which was really, really cool, because I did this at night, like when everybody was sleeping, right? So I built a recording studio in my house, and I said, okay, this is going to be the, you know, the business, right? So one bedroom in my house was a recording studio. And what I would do is I would go in at night when the whole neighborhood was quiet and everything, right? We soundproofed the walls and everything. We had, you know, padding, all kinds of stuff, right? Okay. So nobody could hear what was going on in there. And we could sit in there and play music like all night long. And we did to like sometimes 4 or 5 in the morning. And the neighbors had no idea because it was, you know, soundproof. So we had a carpenter come in, do the whole thing. So anyway, what I would do is I would record these recordings, you know, and it would go something like, you know, aloha and welcome to such and such a hotel. Press 1 for this, press 2 for that, you know, that kind of thing. And then I would put it on the machine. So we would actually sell the machine to the hotel. And then I would do the recordings and service them via the recording. So whenever they needed something, or like when they, you know, when they had something that came up or whatever, special events, that kind of thing. So they would give me a script. I would go down and I would pick up the script and I would take it home. Now, I would go down, and the reason they really liked the service is because I could do it overnight, and they would get it like that night. Because what I would do is I would go down to the hotel about 9 o'clock at night. I would go to the service desk, right? The concierge desk. And I would, you know, say, oh, I'm so-and-so. I'm here for, you know, whatever. And they would give me the envelope, and I would take it home. And then I would just pound out the voiceover, you know, and I would use a professional voice. You know, I'd be like, aloha and welcome to the, you know, XYZ hotel. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. And so I made it sound like really, you know, like that, right? Like professional or whatever. And so I would record it. And then by like midnight or, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, I was done. So I'd get back in the car. I'd drive it back down to the hotel lobby. There's nobody there. It's like 1 o'clock. I mean, you know, place is empty, right? And I would deliver the envelope. And these guys love that because they go, wow. You know, this guy, like this company, Imua Productions, you know, as soon as we give the guy, he comes down, he picks it up, a couple hours, boom, we get serviced like right away. So, and you know, the thing about it was we did not have to service 10 hotels, right? And I was just kind of doing it for kicks. I was just kind of like, oh, well, you know, let's do this, let's do that. And that's how I picked my projects. So I didn't look at it like work. I just looked at it like challenges, like, oh, well, let's try this over here. Let's try that over there. Let's, you know, do this, do that. Now, the law of attraction, I did not know at the time that I was doing the law of attraction. I did not know that I was deliberately, you know, selecting the things that I was doing and manifesting the things that I was doing. I did not know that. All I knew is that, you know, I would just pick these projects. Oh, I think I want to do that. And then I went ahead and did it, and it manifested. And then I go, wow, you know, so first it starts as an idea. Okay. Now, once you plant the seed in your subconscious mind, okay, because, you know, the subconscious learns by repetition. Okay. So a thought, right? I mean, you know, you manifest things by thought, and it's a thought you keep thinking. So you keep thinking about it. Pretty soon your subconscious goes, yeah, yeah, okay, got it, right? And then what happens? Well, then you take the steps, and then you take the baby steps. You know, so in my case, it was like, well, let me call the hotel and see who's responsible for that department and see if they want this service, you know, because I thought it was cool. So anyway, so I did that, right? And now I started, one of the things that the company did was write jingles. Now I started writing jingles when I was 14 years old, my first jingle. And my first jingle, I'm not going to tell you the politician's name, but there was this politician, this lady that ran for mayor on the island of Kauai. And this was like when I was a kid, and I'm from this island, Kauai. I live on Oahu now. For those of you outside Hawaii, just look on a map. It's K-A-U-A-I, and it's the northernmost island in the Hawaiian, well, not the northernmost, but it's up north. There's a couple of islands up there, up north in Hawaii. Anyway, so I'm from that island. And when I was 14 years old, there was this girl, lady, and she was an attorney, and she had come back to Kauai, her home island as well. And she was very much, I want to say for the environment, she was against the bombing of this island that we had called Kaho'olawe when I was a teenager. So we were all like, yeah, stop the bombing. And, you know, the Navy was using the island for target practice, right? And this outraged the Hawaiian people, okay? And now when I was 14, right, it was like, wow, yeah, this has got to stop. So we wanted a cause. We wanted to be a part of something. We wanted to be a part of something constructive. So anyway, so we start following her, because she's, you know, coming home and she's going, well, you know, I've been away. I became a lawyer. I've done all these things. Now I want to come home and make a difference. So, you know, we met her, and she came down to the beach, and we were beach boys. And so, you know, when I was 14, right, and we all hung down at the beach, and, you know, that's a whole nother podcast, Alliance, okay? We hung down at the beach, and that was our hang, right? And so she came down, and she started talking to us to, like, you know, get to know us. And we got to know her. So pretty soon, right, I start going with her because I thought, wow, this is a really cool girl. Now, she was also very pretty. And to me, you know, I was like, wow, yeah, she's a hottie, right? Well, she was older than me, right? I was 14. What the heck did I know? But I, you know, anyway, so I was kind of like, wow, I really like this girl, you know, that kind of thing. And when you're 14, you know, you kind of go, well, maybe I have a chance. I mean, you know, stuff like that, right? So anyway, I started playing guitar. She heard me play guitar at the beach, and I started playing guitar. I started campaigning with her and walking with her, like, on these small little, you know, areas in my area where I live. And I would play the guitar, and we would, you know, walk around and campaign. I did this for another politician as well when I was young, right? Same age, different person, different office, different kind of thing. But she was running for county council. Okay, now fast forward, right? I get to know her better, and I get to, you know, hang around with her and walk around and play with the campaign. And it kind of looked cute because there was this kid, you know, with her playing the guitar. It was a novelty thing. So I was kind of like, you know, comedy relief kind of thing, right? So what happened was one day she goes, you know, maybe you could write a jingle for me, like, you know, a song about my campaign, you know? And I thought about it, you know? Now, I before that, at 10 years old, I wrote two songs. That's it. When I was 10, I wrote two songs. They were very much, I don't even play those songs anymore. They're embarrassing. But I wrote these two songs, right? And so at 14, right, and I started playing guitar when I was 14. When I was 10, I just knew, you know, a couple of chords, and I did these two things. When I was 14, I was like, okay, let me try this, okay? So I did this jingle. Now, I made the jingle. We went down to the radio station. We recorded the jingle. And at 14 years old, they were playing my jingle on the radio, you know, with like a campaign song kind of thing. And like, okay, I got to admit, I got a lot of hate for that, right? I got a lot of hate. But I did get a lot of praise, you know? A lot of people were like, wow, you wrote this jingle, you know? So that was the beginning of my jingle writing experience. My first jingle. Now, the back end to the story is she wins the election by a landslide. Okay, that part had nothing to do with me. Trust me, Hines, nothing. But I was able to be a part of it, and I was very lucky to be a part of that history-making election. And she won by total landslide. It was amazing. Her first time out, boom. Okay. Now, if you fast forward, she actually became mayor of the island of Kauai years and years later. After I had moved, I moved away, and she ran again. I don't know how many terms she served as council, but she did more than a few, and then she became mayor, and the rest, as they say, is history. So now that was my first jingle writing experience. And what we're going to talk about today on the podcast is how I became the real life Charlie from 2 and a Half Men. Okay. And so this is not a flex. This is just telling you guys, like, you know, when you start thinking about something, okay, like the idea pops in your head, right? And you go, hey, I think I'll write jingles. Okay. Then you kind of follow that pathway. And things start to manifest. So that was 14, okay? Now, when I get a little bit older, okay, 19, right? So, you know, and I go through some journeys, and yeah, there was a bunch of things happened, good and bad and whatever. Life happened, right? So now I'm 19 years old, and I'm trying to get a job in radio. I'm trying to get a job in... I'm trying to get a job, like, you know, doing writing jingles, because I thought, well, this is something I can do, right? And when you're 19, like, you kind of, like, you know, write down everything or think about everything that you can do, and then you process of elimination kind of thing. And one of my uncles taught me this. So he sat me down. He goes, all right, look, what can you do? And so I told him, well, like, you know, I play the trumpet, I play the guitar, I play a little bit piano, I play a little bit, you know, I kind of ran it down. And he goes, like, all right, do you have a piano? I'm like, no. He goes, okay, cross it off. I'm like, cross it off. So we go down the line, right? So pretty soon, we get down to, like, okay, can you do this? You know, do you have that? Okay, so finally I got a guitar. And I wrote this jingle, and it was for a union, one of our workers' union here in Hawaii. I'm not going to mention the name, but it was for a union. And it was for this guy, and he owned a multimedia. They called it multimedia. It was his name and then multimedia. And so I worked for this guy, but I tried to do, like, some basic production type thing, but I think he knew that, like, I was so young, right? I was 19, right? I didn't know anything. And it would take a long time to train me to do the technical stuff, right? So one day, you know, I told him, I said, well, you know, I did write a jingle. And he goes, you write music? And I said, well, I don't really write the notes, but I kind of make it up. And then, you know, I do the chords and I sing the thing and I write the, you know, whatever. And he goes, well, maybe you can do one for us, because we're doing a project. And this is for, you know, we're pitching a union program to the union. So maybe you can, you know, write this thing, this jingle. So I said, yeah, sure. So what I did was, it was like two chords. It was two chords. And it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So what I did is I did an instrumental track. So just two chords, back and forth in rhythm. And then I wrote this section of the jingle. So when they produced the video, and the video was, like, I don't know, maybe I think it was half an hour long. It was a presentation to get people in the union to subscribe to this union thing, right, that they were pushing, or that they wanted to, the union members to side with or vote on or whatever. So anyway, I'm doing this thing, right? And in the middle, I come in and I sing this chorus of this thing that I wrote for the union. And it was a song about the union. And you know, some of the lyrics were like, work hard, think about Hawaii, you know, I mean, that kind of thing. So anyway, I'm not going to get into the jingle. But anyway, and this is not a singing podcast, okay? So anyway, I write the jingle. Now, that was my first professional gig as a jingle writer. Now, you know, the stuff I did when I was 14, I didn't get paid for it. It was a volunteer thing, you know, but it was like, it got me started. So I started thinking jingles in the back of my head. And so one of the things that I knew I could do was write a jingle. And when you're that young, you know, you do something, it's like, oh, okay, I can do this. Oh, okay, I can do that, you know, whatever. So now I wrote the jingle for the union. And that was a kind of big thing for me. So, you know, I made an audition tape with it on it and, you know, stuff like that. And I thought, okay, I got to look for more jingle work. Well, I start thinking about jingles. I start thinking about this stuff, right? And then I start just making it up at home, like to practice. So I would pick a business, like any business, and I would just make up a jingle. And I would just, you know, write it down. Now, to me, because I had been writing songs from when I was young, right, jingles were easy for me because it was a 30-second song or a 60-second song. Because in radio and television, they had 30-second commercials and they had 60-second commercials. So it was really easy for me, right? And I'm like, oh, 30-second song. I mean, it's much easier than two verses, a chorus and a verse, and then the end of the song, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, all right, let's do jingles. And so I start practicing. I start doing these random jingles for random businesses. And you know, I did not know how to approach businesses. I was too young. I just was inexperienced. I did not know what to do. So I just kept doing it for practice, for fun, right? And I met this guy when I was 23 years old. So this is, you know, down the road a little bit, right? I met this guy when I was 23 years old. And he is the guy that we set out to do all these things with. We did everything in Hawaii in music and entertainment that you can do in Hawaii. We maxed it out. We did everything from, you know, a backyard, you know, with a generator type show, right? We did everything from that to like a Waikiki show in a major showroom. And then we kind of capped ourselves out after that. And we, you know, and then unfortunately he came down with cancer and passed away in 2015. So, anyway, but that was what we did, anything and everything, right? So, the way it went was this guy was a musical genius and I was the creative side. So he was the music side. I was the creative side. So whatever I could think of, you know, he could play. And I just had my guitar. So I would do the outline on the guitar and I called him Bully. And the reason I called him Bully, because in Hawaii, in the old days, if you were good at something, they would call you the Bull, right? And my stepdad, like, they called him Bull, right? Because he was the best in sports in his high school. He could do anything. He could do basketball, football, whatever. He was good at it. And so there was only one Bull, right? So when I met, you know, when I met Brother Wayne, Brother Wayne was the best at music, the best I ever saw, like musical genius, right? And he was blind. So, you know, I started calling him Bully because it was a term. It was a term for the guy who was the best kind of thing. But there was already a Bull, right, in my life. And I'm like, okay, you can't have that title. That's my dad, right? So now, you know, so I called him Bully. And so I would go and, you know, make up these songs. And go, hey, Bully, try this. And we would play. And he would just back me up. And he would just, like, come in right on it, whatever. And then so we got to the point where we had so many samples and we had, you know, we were doing so many things that way down the road, okay? So this is like, you know, we do production for radio. I started getting into radio. We started doing production for radio. We started doing, you know, just little music. They call them positioners. So positioners is where you mention the station's name or whatever. And it's a short little 10-second kind of jingle thingy, right? It's not even a full jingle. And then later on, right, we came into this situation, and now this is in the back of my head, writing jingles. Yeah, I can write jingles. And I wanted to do it for companies, and I wanted the opportunity, but I never knew how to, you know, be a salesman and go knock on doors and say, hey, oh, excuse me, can I write you a jingle? I mean, you know, it was kind of awkward to me, right? So I never did that. So anyway, down the road, we get into a situation where I landed up in a radio station group. Now, I worked for two radio station groups in my life. The first group, which was a group of three stations, and it was an ethnic station. It was a Hawaiian group, a local Hawaiian station group. And so I worked for these guys. And so what we did was we started doing music backgrounds for commercials. My job was to make commercials like all day long. They call it a production director's position. And it was for three radio stations. And the thing about it was that we started manufacturing music and because it was original. So we would just, you know, we had the recording studio at the house. We would make the music beds. It's called music beds. So we would make the music backgrounds, right? And then for commercials and stuff. So pretty soon, I started just doing these random jingles like for free at that place. Okay, so now, fast forward. So I leave that station group. I go to a new station group. And there was this guy. Now, I can't mention his name because, you know, my attorney goes, dude, no names. I can't mention this guy. But this guy was an angel to us. He was our angel. I really believe that. I mean, this guy, he was a creative guy. He was an artist. He was very highly creative. And he saw right away, he was also a salesman. He was also one, I think, the best closers I've ever seen. Like to close a deal, I mean, this guy could close it, right? And so anyway, he was the guy who, I guess because of his creativity, recognized the creativity in us, right? And saw the potential. Because everybody else, I mean, nobody saw it. We tried to do it. We tried to do it with, hey, you know, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this. You know, for the ethnic station that I worked for before that, right? And everybody was like, you know, whatever. So we just did it for free and we did it, you know, just to do it. Now, by the time we got to this guy at the new station group, this guy who was really creative and an artist himself, right? He was a creative. And he goes, hey, why don't you, you know, because I told him, I said, hey, we could do jingles. We could do anything you want. Let me know anything you want. Because anything I could think of, okay, my business partner, Wayne, right, and best friend, he was my best friend, he was my business partner. And boy, he put up with all the chicks. He put up with everything. Boy, this guy, he was a ride or die. I mean, put it that way. He was one of the, you know, brothers in the brotherhood. We used to call it the brotherhood. And we had this girl that also joined us, right? So she became, we used to call her the only sister in the brotherhood, okay? So it was the three of us. And then we all lived together, right? And that's another podcast. I admit, it might not even be a podcast. But anyway, so we started, you know, on this journey. And he goes, hey, try a jingle for this. So what ended up, right, is that we would write the jingles for him. He would give us the name of the company. He goes, all right, write a jingle for these guys. And I would go on the web and I would search them out. I would get the details or whatever. Or he would give me the bullet points and I would sit in his office and he would tell me about it. Okay, they sell this, they do this, they do that. And I would write down and make the notes and I would go back to my office. Now, I had an office for 23 years, and this office served a variety of purposes. So it housed several of my companies as they were being built, kind of thing. And I, you know, I was building these companies online. And then, you know, there was a studio, a teaching studio where I taught voice and I taught, you know, ukulele. I taught various things. And so then this was all related. That was a music side. And so what we would do when there was no students to teach or, you know, nobody around, we would record music. Now, we would record things on my laptop. And so it sounded like we were like in a major studio, okay? Because, you know, way back at the house when we had the home recording studio, I had to learn how to engineer. I mean, there was no two ways about it. So, you know, my friend did the music tracks. I did the engineering. So it was like a 50-50 thing, right? So I did the engineering. I wrote the jingles. I would play them for him. He would do the music tracks. Then we would lay it out. We would record everything. And it was a two-man operation. Between the two of us, like, we could do everything, right? So we didn't have to pay anybody else, okay? And this is the way, you know, for you younger guys that are, you know, listening to the podcast, you guys got to know that in the beginning, okay, like now when I, you know, when I do a jingle project, I mean, he's no longer here, okay? He's no longer alive. But when I do a jingle project, what I do is I just call musicians, you know, say, hey, we're doing a jingle, you know, meet us at the studio, da-da-da, we'll pay you for that thing, and, you know, yada-yada, whatever. that's the way it's done. And then everybody meets at the session, right? You pay for the session at the recording studio. You pay all the musicians, and then boom, it's done. Okay, but back in the old days when we were starting, you know, there was no recording studio, right? There was my office, there was a laptop, because you didn't need a studio by that time. Everything was in the laptop. So we had a program in the laptop where we recorded everything. So we would get the instructions. I would go back to the office. I would sit at my desk. And in my head, right, I would come up with these things. And I'd be sitting down, and pretty soon I'd be, dun, 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 and then writing down the lyrics. So as soon as I finished the lyrics, you know, I would go, oh, bully, right here, I got it. And I would run it. I would just, you know, basically not run, but just like kind of quickly jump in the studio, right? And I would, let me show you this. And I would play it on the guitar. So he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And he would play along on the piano. And then what we would do is we would go in and we would start recording track by track by track by track. And then we would finish the thing. Now, we got like so used to this, okay? I don't want to say good at this because I'm not really flexing. I'm giving you younger guys ideas, okay? So, you know, like if you really are good at this kind of stuff, if you're good at poetry, if you're good at writing songs, if you, you know, consider jingles. They're 30 and 60 second songs. I mean, so short, right? Easy to do. So for me, it was like super easy because I was already writing music, writing songs. So we did it this way. And this guy started coming up with all of these challenges, right? Okay, let's write one for this company. So pretty soon, we did one for every major car dealership in town. And these were at different times. So like we didn't have, you know, a jingle with me singing on it, you know, for every car dealer all at once. It was a one by one thing. And what he would do is he would use these jingles, right, to get these guys to sign the contracts, you know, so it would be an incentive kind of thing. And what I would do is I would charge the radio station, right? Now, the guys on the radio, the guys I work with on the radio had no idea that this was going on because I worked on the business office end of things, right? And one of these guys, one of my bosses, years and years and years ago told me, and it was a priceless piece of advice, and I'm very grateful to the guy, although I've never really told him. I don't think I ever told him. But he said, you know, when he first hired me, he said to all of us in a meeting, he said, see how you can become valuable to the company. See what kind of value you can bring to the table for the company, and that's how you're going to stay with the company for a long time. And so I thought about it. So this was the way. For us, this was the way. So now, in the meantime, I'm on the radio with these guys, right, on the second most popular show in Hawaii. So my popularity was just like, it was taking off. It was going boom, 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 all the way up. Now, on the other side, on the business office, I was getting all these challenges during the day. Now, at the same time, I had my singing school. So, and I built the singing school so that my friend who was blind would have something to do. Okay, so my thing was I wanted to be an entertainer. That was my dream. And, you know, you guys know that from the other podcasts. So I was doing so many things simultaneously, like all at the same time. So what would happen is I would go to the radio station at 4:30 in the morning, right? I would stay there till 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I would go back to my office, the school. Sometimes I would take a nap for a couple hours, and then I would go to the school, and I would teach from like 1 o'clock in the afternoon till like 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening, and then I would go to sleep and repeat the cycle. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I get up and, you know, repeat the whole thing again. Radio station, 4:30, you know, that kind of thing. Starbucks, then radio station. And for a while, coffee was what kept me alive. I mean, you know, so I was doing this cycle. Now, my ADHD brain was like really firing, like on all my neurons were all firing, right? Because like, this is an ADHD dream, right? Because when you have ADHD, I don't know if, you know, too many of you guys have that, But when you have ADHD, your brain wants a job. And so this gave my brain a lot of work to do, right? So I kept busy and I kept going and boom, 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 you know? And the H in ADHD stands for hyper or hyperactive. So I had a lot of energy. So working all these things and doing all these things was like super easy. I mean, this is like a piece of cake for me. Mm-hmm. So what happened was this guy, every time he had a client or he wanted to sign a client, he would go, hey, all right, okay, here, do this XYZ company. And then I'd knock it out, right? But sometimes we wouldn't hand in the thing like right away. Okay, so eight times out of 10, we would finish the job like within a couple of hours after we got the order. So, you know, he would either call me or text me or email me. Hey, I need this, 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 and I need it by Friday, whatever, or next week or something like that. And we would actually sit on it for like a week. So we wouldn't hand it in. And the reason why we didn't hand it in, and this is good knowledge for you guys, you younger guys, is because when you start turning out stuff that fast, people get used to it. And when they get used to it, they start expecting it like ASAP, okay? So you can't really do it like right away, okay? So we used to sit on it. We used to call it sitting on it. And we used to sit on it for like a week. So we would do it. We would finish the production. Everything would be finished. It would be ready to air on radio and television. And then we would just leave it. It would sit in my laptop. And then, you know, a week later, I would turn it in. And I would go, all right, here we go. It's finally done. Here we go. You know, so, and it's part of the business. It's just what you have to do. It's not that, you know, we weren't playing games with the guy or whatever. But this guy was a blessing to us because he kept us working. So now what we would do is we would turn around and write invoices to the company. Okay, and the company would take care of us. Now, there's other things that, you know, you need to know and whatever. But that's, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the real life Charlie from Two and a Half Men. Now, the real life Charlie part is on the other side of the coin, right? I'm on the radio every morning or a lot. I was on the radio a lot. So I used to fill in for this guy. For a while I was with them, and then I used to fill in with the guy and I was working on the back end in the office. For the office, actually. So it was a business agreement between my company and the radio station. And then on the on-air side, I did it for mentions. Okay, so in other words, it wasn't really free, but what they would do is they would mention my wedding and party business. So that's what I would do on the weekends. So there was the wedding and party business, right? And that started because I went on the radio and people were asking me like, hey, can you play at my party? Can you, you know, play for my daughter's birthday? You know, that kind of thing. And so that happened. So simultaneously on the weekends, I had a company going, the wedding and party business. It was called the Junior Kekueva Junior Roadshow. You can look it up on Facebook. You know, we retired from that in 2019, but it's up. You can go and look at all the history of everything. And so it's there. Then what we did was we took that Imua Productions company and we morphed it into VMAC. That's another story about how that happened. But we were working under the VMAC umbrella for that, for the jingles. And then we were, you know, we were billing the radio station from Voicemaster Enterprises. And so anyway, we had this. So that was one of the weekday side jobs. So I had like, I don't know, six or seven side jobs. And then on the weekends, we do the other company, right? During the week, we would be teaching. And during the weekends, during the day, we would be doing, you know, if we weren't doing the wedding and party business, we would be doing the school. So we had all these things running and, you know, my brain was happy. Everything was good. Money was just coming in. We were living the life. We were, you know, we were out there, you know, being productive and doing things. And so, but this guy who was the blessing for us kept giving us work. And so he would, you know, go to XYZ company for a meeting and then he would let me know. And then I would write the jingle. Then he would pitch the guys and they would go, oh yeah, we love it. They would sign the contract. The radio station made money. We made money. Everybody was happy. It was like boom, 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 win, win, win. And that's the other thing you guys got to learn. Okay. You younger guys, okay. Always make it a win, win, win. If there's something in it for somebody else, it's going to work because they want it to work and they will make it happen for you. They will help you make it happen. Okay. Now, the 2.5 men thing, right? Now, because I lived with a blind person, okay, we did not watch TV, like hardly. I had a TV. Sometimes I used to leave it on like late night kind of thing when I couldn't sleep. But I had a TV, but I wasn't into like watching regular TV programs like people used to watch. So, you know, I keep doing these jingles, and both of us keep doing these jingles, and we keep pumping them out. I mean, just all kinds of jingles. So pretty soon, our company, VMAC Consultants, produced the most jingles of any Hawaii-based company because of the situation that we had, this work situation. It wasn't because, you know, everybody came to us because we wrote the best jingles. It wasn't that. It was because this guy saw the creativity in us, knew how to use us for that purpose, and it made them money. So now we became valuable in that sense, so he would give us tons of work. Now, the downside to that I can tell you on the, you know, like way down the road, is that when he left that company, there was virtually nothing for us to do. Everything dried up, okay? But the time that he was there spanned like years and years. I mean, so we were doing this for, you know, out of the 15 years that I was at the radio station, we were doing this for a solid 10 years. So for 10 years, it was boom, 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 boom. And then the last 5, when he wasn't there, everything dried up. And it was because nobody at the radio station was creative enough to imagine, okay? Because, you know, people need to be creative to imagine, right? And this is about imagination, the law of attraction. So they couldn't imagine, like, how they could use us, okay? But this guy was creative, and he knew, and he did. So anyway, so that was the 10-year thing, and we were just, like, jamming, like, boom, 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 boom. So on the other side, on the radio side, right, made this vision board, and I put it on, it's on my Facebook somewhere, but I put up this vision board. And on the other end, what I wanted, right, was this entertainment career. So I used the radio to like get to where I could do shows, right? And that turned out to be the wedding and party business. But the process was that, you know, I had to do the radio show, which, you know, got me the popularity to be able to do the wedding and party business. I mean, that kind of thing. So it kind of worked like that. And the wedding and party business just kind of popped up like that. But what was really interesting was halfway through this process. So we go down 5-6 years. I had a client, and she was younger. She was at my voice school, and she was younger. And I guess, you know, she watched this show, 2.5 Men. And she was aware that I was doing these jingles. Sometimes she would walk in and we would be just finishing a jingle or just finishing the production or recording or whatever. And she would walk in and she goes, "Wow, uncle." She called me uncle. She goes, "Wow, uncle, that's really good," or, you know, whatever. She was impressed by it, right? So she goes, one day she comes in and she goes, "You know, uncle, you have to watch this TV show." And I'm like, "Really?" And she goes, "Yeah." And she told me the name. She goes, it's called 2.5 Men. Just watch it." And I had never heard of this show, right? And so I'm like, okay, all right. And so time goes by. You know, I'm busy. I have other things to do. And then one evening, right, I have some time. And I'm going, let me see when this thing is on. And I looked at the TV schedule. And I'm like, oh, it's on tomorrow night. So I wrote it down on my calendar. I marked it on my calendar. I said, all right, tomorrow night, I'm going to watch this 2.5 Men show, right? So the next night, I'm there. It's on my calendar. I'm like, okay. So I turn on the TV. I'm sitting down. And what I saw, okay, was the exact, you know, life imitating art kind of thing. It was art imitating my life. So... And I watched this show and I said, wait a minute, this Charlie Sheen character is me. Okay, simply because on the other side, on the radio end of things, okay, I had this popularity kind of thing. And I started, you know, I had this vision board and I had a bunch of women on this vision board. And so when you have, you know, I will tell you that when you start doing this law of attraction intentionally, and all it is your subconscious, okay? But when you put in your subconscious, like, okay, I want to meet the right girl, God goes, oh, you want this one? Oh, you want this one? you want this one? You know, and you date this one, and then it doesn't really happen, like no relationship, nothing, you know? And then he goes, well, you want this one? You want this one over here? And then you meet this girl, and then you meet that girl. So I was meeting all these girls on the other side, right? On the radio station side. And I was meeting all these girls because of that work and that popularity. But on the office side, on the work side, I was doing these jingles. So when I saw this TV show, I'm like, oh my God, that's my life, right? Because the guy Charlie on Two and a Half Men was a jingle writer. That was what he did. He wrote jingles. And there was like this piano in his place. He had a grand piano. So I was looking at a very upscale version of what I was doing. But it was me. I mean, you know, he was irresponsible. Like I was kind of irresponsible in certain things, and then in certain things I was totally responsible because I had to be, right? But I looked at the TV show and I go, wow, this is like my life. And my only thought was like, why can't I make millions of dollars like Charlie, you know, like Charlie Sheen, right? Because it was Charlie Sheen. And I go, wow, why can't I be like that? You know, make millions of dollars for my jingle. Like I'm over here, I'm just making thousands. You know, why can't I make millions? You know, so it was kind of funny. And back in the day, just to give you an example, our jingle started at $5,000 per jingle. Now, here's what you can do. Okay, because I know you younger guys, you're like, oh yeah, unks, well, it, you know, where's your jingles? All right, here's where the jingles are, okay? Are you ready? Write it down. Go on YouTube and search VMAC Consultants, V-A-M-A-C Consultants, okay, in YouTube. And a bunch of jingles, like a ton of jingles will pop up, okay? Now, here's the other lesson for you younger guys. Always save your work, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because people will call you on stuff in your life, okay? Now, you can have a bunch of jingles written down on a piece of paper. You can have it on your resume. You can have it on your bio, okay? But you need to save the jingles itself. Because when people hear it, they go, oh, yeah, okay. Now, it becomes tangible in the minds of someone who does not have an imagination, who does not, you know, think creatively. Okay. They're not creatives. Okay. So you need to save your work. So whatever you do, save your work, you know, post it somewhere. Like nobody goes to YouTube and looks for it. You know, you guys might look for it because I mentioned it, but if you go and look for it, you'll find it. Okay. And there's all these car dealerships. There's all these companies. My right hand guy, he was the producer of my show. Okay. I'm not going to mention his name either, but he was the producer of my show. One day I go, you know, I want to do something cool for him. I want him to be on a jingle. And so I texted him one day. I said, hey, you want to do this jingle? He's like, oh, yeah. And he came down and we produced the jingle with him singing the lead and me singing the background. Just because I wanted to do something for him, you know. So for a while, he had a jingle running on the radio. I mean, that's a head trip. It is a head trip. It's like, whoa, that's me on the radio, you know, that kind of thing. And so we did that. Another time, and this was after Wayne passed away. This was after Bully passed away. I hired one of my students. He was 14 years old. He was a bass player from a local high school, and he used to play in the orchestra. And I said, hey, this is really simple. It's like a Hawaiian music kind of thing. Here, Uncle will show you how. And I showed him the part. It was so simple. He went to the studio. I paid him, I think I paid him 40 bucks. So it was like 20 bucks an hour for a 14-year-old, okay? Now, this is off the record, okay? So this is a long time ago. And yes, you're not supposed to hire 14-year-olds, right? But his father was there, and it was a project to give him self-esteem, to make him feel like he was worth something, okay? Because when you do this for little kids, here's what happens. They grow up and they remember. They remember, oh yeah, I played the bass on this jingle, right? Now, that gives them a level of confidence that will take it into their adult life, and they'll be going, oh yeah, I can do that. I was doing that when I was 14. I mean, that kind of thing, you see? So that was my motive for doing that. So I paid him 40 bucks. And on the way home from the studio, we were walking across the parking lot, you know, and I told him, I'm not going to use his name, but I told him, right? And I said, you see, Uncle hired you and you got $20 per hour. I said, you know what the union pay is? And the union pay was like much less per hour, right? And I said, so you were paid more than a union musician to do that session, because this was a while ago, years and years ago. And I hired another girl to sing, and she's very popular in Hawaiian music. I hired her to sing the jingle. She played the ukulele. And so, you know, I still do jingles. We still produce jingles. VMAC Consultants, you can look it up. It's online. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. All you have to do is search it. VMAC Consultants. And you'll find the jingles. You'll find all of our work, like whatever we did. So whatever we did, I posted it online. Because here's the thing, guys, okay? Always post your work. Always keep a record of your work. Always save your work. Because one day when you get to be an old guy, right? You get to be an old man, and I'm not there yet. No worries. I'm almost there. I'm not there yet. But when you get to be an old man and you go, Unks did this. Uncle did that. Unks did this, right? Unks did that. The kids will be so much more impressed if they can just go to somewhere and see it for themselves, okay? Because talk is cheap, all right? Okay, but on the law of attraction end of all of this, okay, because this is what I was focused on. This is what I was concentrating on, right? I was concentrating on writing jingles, you know, and so this was, you know, this was the thing for me. So these things kept popping up. So God was like, hey, you want this jingle? You want that jingle? You want this company, that company? And for a while, for 10 solid years, we were writing jingles. Boom, 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 boom. Now, were there other companies that wrote better jingles than us? Oh, yeah, of course. And there was this one guy who did these, jingles, and I really respect this guy. I can't say his name because we don't use names on the podcast, but I really respect the guy. I look up to him, and I was always thinking like, wow, because he used to do jingles with five-part harmonies, and he used to sing the parts, and like every part, he would do every part. This guy was phenomenal. I wish I could use his name and give him credit. Okay, but for legal reasons, I cannot. But I will tell you something, that guy was my hero. And I was like, whoa, this guy is awesome. And he was doing these jingles and positioners for this radio station group that I was working at for one of the stations. And I thought it was the most innovative stuff I ever heard. I'm like, wow, this guy really knows his stuff. He's an awesome guitar player. He's tops in his field. He still is, but there's younger guys now, right? So the older guys are kind of mellowing out a little bit and the younger guys are rising. And that's what happens. And that's why this podcast is here. It's here for you guys, you younger guys that are rising. Okay. The old dogs like me, you know, we're slowly going down that road. You know what I'm saying? And one day we won't be here. But this podcast will be here. And this podcast is for you. If you're listening right now, and this could be years from when this original recording was made, okay? But if you're listening to this right now, it's probably meant that, you know, that you listened to it. It was probably God going, hey, you know what? You need to hear this. Here, check out this podcast. And you stumbled upon my podcast. And now you're hearing this. And now you're hearing what we did and how it worked and the mechanics of it. And now you can go on YouTube and you can search. Okay. And when you search VMAC Consultants, you're going to find all this stuff. Okay. So what is the law of attraction lesson here? The law of attraction lesson is that I guess, right, because of my ADHD brain, because I go from thought to thought to thought, okay, but I keep thinking the same thoughts, you know, because on this side, I was like, okay, girls, you know, comedy, like doing all this radio stuff over here, and then over there in the office on the other side, right, I was thinking, oh, where's the next jingle? I wonder what we're going to do for the next jingle. So I was manifesting the jingles. On this side, I was manifesting girls. You know, God was going, you want this girl? You want that girl? You want this girl? You want that? And of course, sometimes there was drama. Sometimes there was, you know, heartbreaks. Sometimes there was, you know, sometimes, yeah, you had that breakup with somebody because of this, that, and the other thing, or it wasn't right, or whatever it was. Life happens, okay? But when you can simultaneously manifest all these things, it just means that you're jumping from thought to thought to thought, but that these thoughts are the same thoughts. So you can manifest two or three things at the same time if you focus on those two or three, you know, things. And I was writing affirmations after a while. I am so happy and grateful now that we have another jingle to do. I mean, you know, and I would write these things. And as I would write it, pretty soon, you know, a couple days goes by and I get a request. I get an email. I get a text. I get a phone call. Right. And it's like, dude, we need a jingle for such and such, you know. And I'm like, hey, I'm on it. And that was my response all the time. I'm on it. And I would take my assignment and I would go back to the office and we would, you know, we called it the lab. So I would take it to the lab and we would cook something up, you know, and that's the story of how I became the real life Charlie from Two and a Half Men. And I tell you, Hawaii, it was a journey. It was a journey because in between the jingles, right, there was these dates and these girls. And I met some of the most beautiful, beautiful girls in the world right here in Hawaii. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful people. You know, I mean, these weren't like, you know, ratchet groupies, you know. And the other thing I'll tell you, okay, and this is the relationship is really short on this one because it wasn't really about that on this podcast. And we'll do another relationship podcast for you guys. But here's the thing, right? It's a little bit of relationship thing. When you start dating dimes, okay, when you start going out with hotties, when you start meeting girls that are really, really good, okay, you don't want to show them off in public. You really don't. You want to do it on the down low. I used to have this bar I went to, right? And I used to take these girls to this bar because it was kind of dark and we could sit in the corner and just have a good time. Okay. And that's what you want to do. You want to take girls and don't go show them off because, you know, it's like a fishing lure. Okay. When you start bringing the girls around, all the other guys are going, hey, wow, hey, that's a nice one. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Because pretty soon what's going to happen, right, is that you're going to, they're going to, oh, sorry. I got to go. Yeah. But, what's going to happen is they're going to want to date that girl because she's so good. So, yeah, when you get the good stuff, just keep it out of sight. There you go. All right, there you go, Hawaiians. There you go. All right. Say, we want to thank Brother Randy. Yeah, down there at Island Club and Spa, one of our fine sponsors. Also, the Voicemaster family of service companies. And also, Darren Chinen's music at AFMHawaii.com. HawaiiMusic.com. Sorry, AFMHawaiiMusic.com. Darren Chinen. Also, we have a brand new podcast page. Check it out. It's at hereforyoulifecoaching.com/podcast. Okay, check it out. Till next time, I'm Junior Keiko Eva Jr. saying mahalo and aloha.